Okay, Stevitz and Digital 3 talking about anatomical shoe fitting scan.
Yes.
You're
lost.
No, I'm not. I see bones. Okay, it looks like you put a shoe on, and it electrifies your foot. Let's say, let's use that term, and shows you the bones in your foot. So you put on a shoe. It's a shoe X-ray. You put on a shoe and you get to see what's inside your foot. If you had a pair of pants, you could see your bones of your knees, your pelvis, but just the bones. It's like X-ray glasses, but you're wearing the clothes on your body.
Okay, close, but it's not X-ray, and it's also not electricity. It's magnets. So it's you use magnetic imaging to scan the anatomical size of your foot. And then that information is uploaded to a computer, and the algorithm spits out the ideal shoe shape.
Why does somebody want to go to all this trouble just for the how big is your foot?
Look at this person walking down the street right there. Look at those floppy feet.
Okay.
That's not comfortable. There's ways.
Those hardly even look like shoes.
There's a clown. If you want to be like an inch taller, then it's going to really throw everything off unless you really model the impact that's going to have on your bone structure and the displacement of weight,
so
disbursement of weight.
You try on different shoes, and then...
No, you don't have to try on different shoes. This is a machine that will create the perfect shoe. The one shoe.
But here's the problem.
Printed out by a 3D
this
printer.
Okay. I mean, this is a great idea. You know, Birkenstock... This was the Birkenstock idea. This is the only sandal you'll ever need. And at first you put it on, it's not comfortable, but it's cork and etc. And it adapts. And then pretty soon you're wearing it in the winter. You're wearing it all the time. Yeah. So, I mean, if you don't want to go by way of Birkenstock, and then what happened? They got replaced by Tevas and Crocs, just plastic pieces of junk eventually. How did that happen? Right? So, here's what I'm saying. It's a good thing you come to me, because this needs to be many different... You got to have a lot of different ones of this.
Oh, yeah, you could have different styles. But the
thing
is, they're all going to be... Your signature foot is going to dictate the way these different styles get printed out.
Right. Okay. And then you aggregate the user... You aggregate the user foes... Let's call it infos, user foes. You aggregate all the user foes into a big data set, and that tells you not about any specific person's shoe, but it just tells you overall how bad or good are the different types of shoes for your feet. Like, oh, Nike, actually.
Exactly.
Bad for your feet.
Which is a possible way of monetizing this. Give away the shoes for free, but get the data.
Well, demonetizing it in the sense that Nike's gone out of business because all they have is a basketball player showing how great their shoes are, but when we do the modeling, we realize, oh, those shoes are bad for your feet. It's better to have horseshoes. So is this a totally different invention?
This is a totally...
So you only gave this one drawing, the anatomical shoe-fitting scan.
These are just quick concepts. They're not all good, like, fully fleshed out.
QC.
Yeah.
Quick con? Power wire screen. This is called power wire screen brain. That's a long name.
Okay, well,
I'm going to tell you what I see. You have a charger and a backup power that's disconnected from a rectangular brain that is being supported by two wallets a wallet on one side, a screen on the other. There is a power wire that takes the form of kind of a hump on top. With then another wire that's not for power, so it must just be light, like a lightning catch. Oh, and then a choker collar up there with the camera. Okay, so this is one of these dominatrix style apparatus where you insert somebody there and then look at them with the camera, make sure they paid some money, they'll get smarter, and then other people can watch it on the screen. There's a backup just in case. Gosh. No, that can't be it. You're not such an S&M guy. A choker. Power. wire, screen, brain.
I have a question for you. This kind of relates to another invention. It's a sort of psychological personality test kind of thing.
Okay.
Where you take people's inventions and you sort of try to figure out
what they do.
What the person's going through. What's going on in their mind.
What I'm going through.
No, the inventor. My question is for you is like, when you see all of this, what do you think I'm going through that would cause this output? It's like an art therapy kind of
approach
to invention analysis.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, looking at it, I can tell what I'm going through, which is, for me, power and wires and wallets are disconnected. But here, they're connected through the brain. And since I have to use my brain to figure out the connection, I get caught in the choker. For everyone to see as it's catched on camera and projected on that screen. I call it the humiliatron. Now, for you, looking at you, what you're going through, it looks like you run out of power. You always need your backup, but you don't realize what it's powering because that has no connection to anything. You always have extra wires bothering you because there's all these wires here that don't relate to anything. Your power and your brain are the same thing. And money is just another form of visual representation for you. You have a screen and a wallet. They're both represented by the same type of drawing, the same shape, rectangle. And that you're being choked off by shooting with a video camera.
That's pretty deep.
What is it really?
Well, what it is actually supposed to be, I think we should just leave out. Just, you know, leave that one up for interpretation.
No. It's too crazy. I've got to know what that is.
I piqued your curiosity.
You did.
Okay. What it is this... I don't have a name for it yet.
Okay.
As you can
see,
we're
going to come up with a name. Yeah.
But it's an idea for the new phone of the future, that we will dissect our phone into its individual components, its camera, its battery, its brain, you know, processor, and we'll put the different components all over our body, and we'll shrink them, and we'll network them together. And so instead of actually having one little candy bar kind of thing that's a sort of do-anything machine, that's limited in its design because it's trying to be able to do anything. We have a myriad of things worn around our belt, a wallet hanging down on the left. It's like this tiny little thing that just can digitally transfer payments. And then this screen, this super thin, almost piece of paper screen that's just talking to the brain. That's
could blow in
up.
The wind.
It's so thin. You could fold into a paper airplane and pass notes to people.
Yeah.
And then the camera just always hanging out. Maybe you've got a little shutter so that you can close it off and not intimidate people.
But it's around your neck.
It's there and it's ready and it's aimed at what you're looking at, which is, you know, pretty much where you're going to aim the camera that you pick out and hold up anyways. And
but your neck doesn't turn as much as your head. That's okay. That's designed that way, more steady.
Well, but think about the way VR is evolving. Like,
voice recognition?
No, virtual reality. Immersive environments.
Is voice recognition a part of that?
I mean,
is VR a part of VR?
Voice recognition. Yeah, I mean...
like, hello? And then it's like, whoa, I can't believe this is real. This is real.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Steve Itz.
Look, if you've got a camera right there...
That was how they recognized my voice. Because I said, whoa, it's like a signature thing that you say. What would it be for you?
I would say, okay, camera, take a picture.
Okay, digital 3. Did you hear how slow the shutter was? You were in really low lighting. Yeah. See, you can tell a lot about VR from VR.
Well, my
virtual reality from voice recognition.
My interest is the tapestry of
and how
combining
they
it all together. Yeah. What the person said, you know, what they saw.
Yep.
And creating that kind of log and that digital smear as you move through life, capturing and experiencing simultaneously.
Oh. And it didn't look like a phone, really, from the drawing. It looked like a kind of chair.
Phone. Well, what you didn't understand is that's a belt. The thing with the wallet, that's the
belt. Oh, that's
belt.
A belt.
Yeah. And then the wires going up the person's back up to their necklace choker. So it's a body.
So have you ever taken a shower with your phone? Have you ever? Because this would be hard to do. Like, I've taken a shower with my phone before. Just I'm talking and I want to have a shower. I'm still talking. Okay, I'm getting in the shower. With this belt wire up the back of your neck, I'm just saying, in one step forward, if in another step back.
Yeah, I hear you. But, you know, there was a time that we didn't have socks. And ever since the advent of socks, they're a really good thing to put on at the beginning of the day.
Oh, but it seemed like a step back at the time, because at the time you were just like, oh, I just wrap rags around my feet anyway. Why would I have another thing under the rags? Right. I see what you're saying. So, like, and then when the portable phones came out, we were like, oh, it doesn't sound like a phone anymore. I can barely hear what? I can barely hear you. Can't understand. Speak up. Where are you? You know?
Yeah.
Whereas before, it's like I didn't know, ask where are you? Every time I'm calling, hello, I know where you are. Because you answered the phone is in a place. So it's like that. It's like it seems like we're going backwards. But actually, we're going onwards.
That's what I think.
All right. So, I'm going to call that Hammy Smack.
Hammy Smack.
Yeah. Okay. Me and my Hammy Smack. You know? And then you show people...
Hit me on my Hammy Smack later.
Yeah. Hammy Smack.
I'll hit you back on your Hammy Smack.
That's right. I'll Hammy Smack you back. You see? It's pretty good.
Hammy Smack. Is that an acronym of some kind or what? That's just...
Yeah, Human Accelerated...
Mobile.
Mobile, Mysterious Yearning. Yearner. It's because it's about desire, ultimately.
Yeah, well, that's what...
And Smack is supra... motile, annotated, collagen collection, which is what it's made out of. It's all made out of collagen. That's why you can take it in the shower. There you go. Now we have it.
Oh, yeah. It could be entirely waterproof. That might be one of the benefits of deconstructing the phone into its individual components.
Well, it's already wireproof, as you said. You're listening to Steve Itz. That's me. I'm talking with...
Digital 3.
We're coming to you live from the...
New York City corner.
That's right.
The inventor's corner.
Yeah, it is. It's the corner of 53rd and...
Lexington.
Yeah. Between Lexington and Park. Just had a mixed pita gyro sandwich.
All right. Gyroscopic.
Yeah. Okay. Because we're talking about inventions and mag bead powerful wearables. Okay. So... Ooh, okay, this is interesting. There's a globe on the end of a USB ported charger, and it's being secured by magnets, just like the globe is, because the globe is, I think, secured by magnetic poles, keeping it locked in place or else it would just like, spin everywhere. It skates, I think our world just skates around on a magnetic rink, like a magnetic hockey rink, as it were. That's the solar system for you. That's the hockey model. And it's a solar cell, which we have a sun in our solar system. So basically, I'm going to call this, you call it a mag bead, and you spell bead like B-E-E-D. I've never seen it spelled that way before, but I like that. I'm going to call it Cosmo Pocket.
Mm.
Cosmocket.
That's possibly a better name.
I'm all about it. Does it do what I think it does? It models the cosmos for you in your pocket, and then you can attach that energy to anything that has a universal serial bus.
Well, if you consider energy to be part of our cosmos, and if you shrink your idea down a lot, then yeah, kind of. It kind of does that.
Shrunken down. I like that. Magnets secure in proper position for inductive recharge. Oh, so it recharges static cling from your clothing. By rubbing... Oh! I didn't see where the sticky adhesive goes. Now I understand, because it's not pictured here. But you must have a sticky adhesive you rub it over your clothes, takes the hair off your clothes. While you're doing it, you get it charged up, and then you can charge, like, your phone or something with the USB. Am I right, or?
Well, that could be one application, because what this is it's a battery that is the size of a little button. And so if you designed a shirt...
Like a watch battery.
...that was an anti-static shirt, but it required a battery, you could power that T-shirt with this mag bead.
If it were static, it would dispel the battery?
Well, I'm just imagining off the cuff here that if you want an anti-static shirt, it might require some electricity to make sure that no fur or anything can ever stick to it.
Oh, yeah.
Or you want any kind of wearable technology that requires just a little bit of power, you know, like a watch battery amount of power. But see, I believe battery technology is going to advance, and you could probably fit a lot of power in there, possibly eventually one day enough to power an entire phone in just a little tiny watch-sized battery.
Okay, so what's the difference? Is this generating... Why are there magnets?
Just to keep them clipped on, because, you know, when you're in the world of gadgetry and electronics, you get trapped in this paradigm of ports. You plug this into that port, what kind of port? But then there's this amazing concept of induction. You just, by setting it in place, it's where it needs to be to transfer the power. That's how the Apple Watch is working. You just put it on the little plate and it just wirelessly throws the power into the watch. So that's the idea with these little mag beads, that they're getting the power put into them, but then how do you keep it in place? Magnets. The magnet holds it in place. And
so the bead is the battery.
The bead is the battery, and then plus a little bit of magnet.
Why is it attached to this USB thing?
This USB is the charger.
To get the power out of there.
To charge from USB off your computer or
okay,
out of the
wall. For legacy. This is like for legacy devices.
Yeah, you plug into the old USB.
Right.
Ports.
People who are still on USB, after all this time, you're still USB, you can zap, 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 jam it home, transfer it to your beads. You call them mag beads, I call them Cosmocket.
Cosmocket's kind of nice too, and they have solar panels on them as well, so if you're sitting out in the sun, actually a little bit of sun coming on your face, giving you vitamin D, a little bit of sun's getting into your bead, your mag bead, and it's charging it.
Yes. Okay, I like that. Now, when you breathe on it, like, and it fogs up, does the water give it some water power? Because I like solar power, but I like it to also have water power. That's right.
Hydro version would be interesting. Maybe the dew point somehow could be...
Like duplex.
If you're early in the morning, that tiny bit of moisture causes a turbine
or just, you
to
can,
spin. I don't know.
You could just... Well, and this is why
you're
we
the
discuss...
You're the one who's up on chemistry. I don't know. I don't know if
this is why we discuss these inventions, because often, and this is really where it's headed, with batteries, you want to talk about chemistry, smell is the next step for batteries. So the way that our system works, if there's just one part per billion, we can smell it, oh, it stinks. Well, that's how the future batteries work. One part per billion, boom. You light it up, the whole building, just like that, because it's sensitive to that part per billion. It's like they're doing with the LED lights. There's just one wavelength of light, boom, it's bright. It's so bright, takes a little power, but we see it just as easily as seeing a whole broad spectrum that costs all this. So the future batteries is going to be basically in smell technology, and that's where, right now your solar, get to smell.
If nothing else, we do want that ratio that we get from smells. You're right.
Yeah, you take the ratio and I'll take the roses. All right, this is Stevich and Digital... Stevitz and Digital 3. And here is a new invention. What do you call this?
Vital Connect.
Cool. It looks like a Venn diagram of only two circles. So, and now you're hiding some of it from me.
No, the screen's cracked. I'm just...
Oh, you want me to read the words. You know, I try to just interpret... I just interpret that there are words only in the center overlap. So what it means to me is that there's two prelingual societies come together, and when they're joined, create language. It says a needless monitor, blood data is sent, and to spell words. Look at that, spell words in a new read-only language. I figured it out.
Wow.
It was true. It is two prelingual things coming together to create language, is it not?
It kind of is, yeah, in a way.
But it's blood data that's transmitted. So let's explain this. There's two kinds of blood. You put them together, and then you get some data out of it. Well, new data that they couldn't speak before.
Well, okay, yes, you will be communicating information about...
You don't always have to say yes. I mean, if it's not the case, it's all right. I know you want to...
There's partial truth in almost anything.
That's the problem with Digital 3. Sometimes he'll see the truth in the lie. In the false? In the fey.
Fabrication.
In the fey, I call it. In the fey realm. In the shadow world. In the dark.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. What do you think this means in the greater scheme of human progress?
It means that if I have a blood and you have a blood and we just squish them together, then we could see what new types of benefits or diseases might arise from that. So, like, if you're going to hook up with somebody, maybe you prick your fingers, rub them together like blood brothers, and then you're like, oh, watch out for, you know, herpes. Or, oh, no problem, green light, go.
Well, they used to say to go get a blood test before you get married. Do they still do that?
I don't know. I don't think they do.
But maybe there'll be a day when compare our blood digital samples that are taken every 5 seconds with somebody before we even have a conversation with them, because, you know, there could be danger in the room, as evident by these little tiny blood samples.
Now, two blood samples put together...
Here's the fey.
Okay.
What you're a little lost on is that this seems like only an input device. Actually, this is an input and an output device. So while the needles are there taking little blood sugar levels, you know, for diabetics or anyone tracking their energy levels throughout the day, as well as possibly, you know, DNA analysis or other microbiome information transferred to servers to be processed and gathered, you know, insights from. Simultaneously, it can also send signals into your body. And it does so with a tiny little bit of electricity through this little needle. It just
zaps.
It zaps, but not in a way that, like,
hurts.
Wow,
oh my gosh, this is amazing. You have taken a medieval concept and popularized it, and you've taken the Inquisition and flipped it on its head. Electrocution, pricking... Right? Prick, prick, prick. And bloodletting. Resulting in, and I'm reading this here, to spell words in a new read-only language, which is like the Inquisition was all about burning the books, you know? So this is the anti-Inquisitor is what I'm going to call it. The Antquisitor. The Acquisitor.
Well, okay, we're recording audio right now, and we, you know, do our show, we record video.
Yes.
I've got my live stream that's always going, it's going right now.
Yeah,
and
blind stream
These are kind of, I would argue these are read-only language tools. Because
like,
although,
this is, radio is a read-only language.
Yeah, because you can get a microphone, and then you can now be an author as well, but the thing is, even when you're doing that, you're using a digital technology to turn something into... then the medium, which is the audio or the video, and then that's read-only. And so what I'm proposing is language that exists in the form of these little, like, super fast...
Oh, this is the taps again.
It's different than the tap, because the tap...
Tapping into your skin, though.
Well,
tapping the blood out.
It would be much faster.
And like, you're saying that's a language.
Well, there's a couple languages we've been talking about. One is the tap talk that you could do on your ring.
Yeah.
But that's slow.
Why does this need to be a language... to have three needles? So there's a bit, it looks like, now I see what I thought was two overlapping circles in a Venn diagram is actually three-dimensional drawing of a wristband.
A wristband, exactly.
Okay, so it is with needles that poke you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So there's, you put on a wristband and these needles poke you. Not only they poke you, they electrocute you. And they communicate, though, with your body by doing so, because your body uses electricity to communicate.
Yeah, but, okay, so tap your two fingers together really fast. Like, how fast can you go? You can't really go that fast. You run out of speed.
Okay.
But now, look up at the lights that your eyes can see. You know, they're vibrating at a frequency that is actually, that has a pulse to it.
And
the different speeds create different colors. Sound does the same thing, pushing air through the atmosphere.
That's right.
It hits our eardrum.
That's right.
So there are these very, very fast methods of communication that we have. And now with digital, you know, we can look at a screen or we can hear audio, but it's not always convenient to be looking at a screen or hearing audio. It might be nice if we could get information.
Oh, so you get electrocuted.
At a high frequency.
Whoa, you right? get electrocuted into your body.
Yeah.
Whoa. And this is a voluntary, it's called Vital Connect. Wow, I called it the Anti-Inquisitor, but maybe it's just the Inquisitor.
Well, it's possible that we could learn through brain plasticity,
which is plastic brains,
to interpret these very fast signals. So instead of reading a book and it taking, you know, 100 words a minute, 300 words a minute, 500 if you've taken a class online, you could be getting like 1,500 or 3,000 or 5,000 words a minute, potentially.
Interesting. So you would, in a way, you wouldn't remember learning things per se, but you would just have the feeling of knowing about it. Like, what do we have that for? Like talking, we have the feeling of knowing it without really remembering learning it, right?
Well, balancing.
Balancing, yeah, but what's something even more, you know, something that's like, balancing, okay.
But actually the mundane are where it's really at, because trying to get a robot to balance, I don't know if you watched the DARPA convention recently.
So you're talking, man.
They're falling over. These robots are tumbling all over. It's pathetic what they can't do. The simplest thing, like balancing, is so hard for a machine to do because of the complex math going on. You know,
comp math, yeah.
Gravity and centers.
So in a way, this is something that you develop thinking about humans, but actually would be good for a machine to wear. And then...
No, it's definitely for the humans, because, you know, machines don't have blood. And they
don't
have nerve
enough.
Endings. A machine wouldn't need this. But, okay, imagine yourself a jet, as a pilot.
As the jet.
Well, yeah, as the jet is sort of where I'm going with this.
You're going, that's where you're going. See, I'm a page ahead. I've gone
on the next page.
Then it's the blank page that I've gone to.
You've seen in those, like, fighter pilot cockpits, like, 30 little meters across the front of the cockpit.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine if all that data...
Those are just for show, by the way.
Well, no, when you're actually flipping upside down and turning around, you're looking at that stuff because you can't feel what's going on. You have to look at the meters and be like, oh, I'm actually churned at 45 degrees right now. And that becomes like a sense, like a seventh or eighth or ninth sense.
You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm talking with Digital 3. This is Steve Itz. We're coming to you live from a New York City street corner. Okay, so I think I understand what you're saying. I mean, I just tuned out the last couple minutes, but basically, blah, 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 and I figured it. So I got it.
Just remember, cockpit. You don't need all those...
Oh, you don't need all the dials.
You don't need all those dials. You could be coming right into the wrist. And then the question is, what kind of information do you want to have a feeling for?
Yeah, you feel... Yeah, I see. So you're doing a higher data rate than you can do through your eyes or your ears, directly into your bloodstream and your neurons. And it's... You somehow, your body would have a sort of software to decode this.
Well, it's called your brain.
Now, I have an objection to all of these devices being grouped in the way that they are.
Okay.
It's like when you go into a clothing store and you're looking for clothes, but then while you're looking for clothes, you realize you have to go to an appointment, and then you rush off. On your way there, you're thinking about a pen and a piece of paper to write something down, so then you start thinking about that. Instead of having all of the wearable things together, we might want to have some other inventions mixed in.
Okay.
Because I just noticed all these...
Well, we got to talk to our publishers.
All these things are things that can be worn. Well...
They told me they wanted chapters that were topical, so...
You know how they say all hypnosis is self-hypnosis? All publishing...
It's self-publishing.
Is self-publishing, that's right.
So we are the publishers. Okay, we can do that if you want to do that.
I'm talking to the publisher. You, yeah, you. Talking to Digital 3.
All right.
Steve Itz. Okay, so talk to me about this. This is, or I'll tell you, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to tell
you.
What do
you see here? This is a Warshaw.
This just is more of the same, I think. A necklace. Looks like an alien. Like you've an alien. You're trying to get an alien to understand Earth. So you give them a necklace that helps them sense if a person has a heartbeat or not. That way they know to react. Oh, is that thing alive or is that thing dead? Okay, I'll react to it appropriately. camera, microphone, standard. Oh, Bluetooth 4.0. There you go again. Blue 4. There's a flash. It blinks at you. Maybe that's to decode messages that are Morse code. Again, I know how all your devices have a Morse code backup. It self-destructs if detached or broken or removed. Oh my gosh. You have a backup band in a vault. Wow. So somehow your identity is contained in this necklace. It's like a soul gem. From the medieval.
That's it, man. You pretty much nailed that one. You got it. Soul gem. I'm gonna
By the way, is this 63rd or 64th? Just gonna check here. Park Avenue, and just walking now to the corner. Oh, 51st. Okay, and I'm back sitting down with
Digital 3.
Okay, and we just skipped over that one.
Well, we got it. It's related to all the other ones.
Okay, soul gem. I'm going to call it. Why does it self-destruct? The only question, why does it self-destruct?
That's really what the next one is, the self-destruction mechanism.
Bond band. But no, but why would that one self-destruct? Because the information is too sensitive?
Well, because right now we live in a world where all of our information is in the cloud, owned by companies. In the future, that's just not going to work, because there's going to be information that's just too personal to be there and that you need too frequently. And if the cloud is down, you're going to be screwed. And the other part of the way the world works right now is that you type in passwords to get access to your information. But that's also not going to work in the future, because anything that you type into can be hacked and keylogged. They can just record the keys that you're typing in. So what we're going to eventually arrive at is a physical piece of media that has a personal private key. We're going to have different private keys for different medical records, or the keys to our house, or the keys to our car, but they're all going to be digital. They're going to be carried with us, and they can be copied, but we'll only copy them under certain very secure situations, such as putting them onto a band that we're going to wear on our arm, and we're going to want that band to destroy itself if somebody forces it off
us. Ah, wow. Okay, so it's like a classic situation of the guy who's carrying the money on his handcuffs.
He handcuffs to a briefcase of $1 million.
So this is called, so what we should call this, the handcuff briefcase.
Well, I call it Bond band.
Like it's like James Bond like.
Kind of, but it's also like, it's Bond kind of like bound. I don't know. It's like a bond is sort of like an insurance policy.
So it stores the private keys using power that when cut loses all record. And then you have the bead, your little beads are what's used to give it charge.
Exactly. And if it loses juice, it's not stored in permanent memory. It's stored in a type of resistor.
Oh, I know.
Power's lost, it forgets it. You restart your computer.
It's like an Etch-A-Sketch.
Exactly.
It's stored like an Etch-A-Sketch, and as soon as the power's out,
It's gone. And so you keep it on all the time, and you have backups. So if something happens, your dog grabs a hold of it and tears it off or something.
Great.
Then you can, you know.
Then you can. Okay. And you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm sitting here with
Digital 3.
And we just have a new guest,
Pixie Girl 13,
who's joined us today. This is our show about inventions. Thanks for coming on our show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So my name's Steve Itt. She's just a walk-by, but decided to come and sit down and join us. We're broadcasting to you live from the corner of 53rd and Lex, or somewhere near there, Park and whatever it was. I told everybody the wrong address. Don't want to be mobbed during our live show, so.
Good thing.
Yeah.
But I am glad that you found us.
Oh, me too.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What, now, this is maybe an awkward one to ask you, Pixie Girl 13, exactly what this is, but that's what we've been doing. He's been showing me the inventions, and I've been saying what I think it is.
Right.
What is that?
Well, because of the Crocs on the screen, it looks like there are spiders on her stomach, which I think is delightful. So I think it's important that we consider all details. But I see here a very skimpy bikini that appears to be vibrating in all facets, which I don't fully understand. And then we have the phrase contain language. I don't know if this means the vibrations are cued by language or they speak, but either way is intriguing.
You can let the laugh out. It's okay. He kind of holds laughing.
Yeah, it's it's very silly, so you should laugh.
No, I would just be laughing nonstop the whole time, and we wouldn't be able to hear you, so...
Oh, well,
but it's very entertaining,
right,
to see this get synthesized, because you're not really far off. I mean,
oh, good.
That is basically it. You've
That's
got
great.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but what I wonder is, okay, vibrations contain language, right? So this is a theme we've lately with all these wearable technologies. There's a band that sticks into your skin that contains language. It injects you with language.
Okay.
It's called the Anti-Inquisitor. Then there's a bead that doesn't, but then you can tap and spin this ring that contains language.
Tap
and slide it.
And this, it zaps you with language.
That zaps you. Yeah, this will self-destruct if you take it off.
Oh no.
It takes pictures for
it's a, I call it the soul gem. What did you call that one? The
Vital Connect.
Vital Connect, right, the soul gem.
Or the bond band.
So, anyway, so this latest one, to me it looked like you're trying to stimulate the pleasure. Oh, I know what this is. Of course. This is, it's VR plus VR. Voice recognition plus virtual reality. You call the 1-900 number, plug in your bikini, and the sexy talk directly translates into sexy motion.
Well, actually, you could use it that way, but that's not the purpose.
The purpose is to communicate a secret message from prison. Or can it be for men and women? Men and women both? Is that what you indicate with it?
Well, okay, here's the thing. They have these maps in medical books that show how sensitive...
You're sitting a little bit close to our new guest, I think.
Okay, well, I'll try to not sit...
No, I mean...
Is that okay? That's fine.
Sitting here.
Right.
Is that a good distance?
It's a fine distance.
Okay, because there's lots of...
Yeah, there,
there's
I
comfortable
can fit
space.
My entire hand in between the space.
Okay, that's... I just noticed that
while he was gesturing, that hand was kind of lightly brushing.
Oh, I didn't really notice.
No. I was doing something on my leg here. I was trying to remember which part of my leg is least.
But why don't you
sensitive.
Pay attention to the being on the show talking about the invention?
Because this is what I'm talking about. When you read medical books, you can see these maps of how sensitive different parts of the body are.
Hey, there you go again.
So, if you think about your knee, you know, sometimes you scratch your knee and you're not really sure even
you
which...
You can model that on my knee rather than her knee.
Which part of your knee you might be scratching. You can try it on yourselves. But then if you do something like, you know, scratch the tip of your other finger and your other hand...
Don't try this at home, mate. We gotta say that.
You'll realize that actually your fingers are very sensitive. And this is part of evolution. And in fact, more of the brain is used to take in the information from your fingertips than from your knee. Or from your shin. And there are parts of the body that are incredibly sensitive.
Yeah, we know that. You're saying it like it's like some kind of invention or something. Look, where this is high-level thought concepts, we're
right.
on a show about invention, you're telling me about that my fingertips are more
okay.
sensitive than my knees.
Okay, and so...
And meanwhile, you're using all this as a ruse to get close to Pixie 13, who has just come in here, very kindly walked off the street, and can't put up with this kind of masogynal behavior.
As professional as possible. Is this
right,
okay?
Of
are
course.
You comfortable?
I'm fine. I actually noticed as I was walking up here, my fingertips felt full of blood because I guess I was walking a lot and I was swinging them around. But my knees didn't feel that way. So that, I guess, proves your theory.
Well, that you were a little bit more sensitive to what was going on in your fingers.
Yes.
Okay.
You seem to be getting along very well. What does this invention do?
Okay, what the invention does is it takes three areas that are...
I saw that.
...of the utmost sensitivity. And when they draw this graphically on a map, you know, the tongue is gigantic, the genitals are huge, the arms are tiny and small, and the nipples
you
are...
You see how what he's doing with his tongue while he's talking?
I was not paying attention.
Oh, okay, good. It's salacious.
When you find these visual maps that show, like, the sensitivity of the body, where they show the larger body parts...
This is more fingertips, more sensitive than knees. All right, we got it.
Okay.
What is your invention?
Okay, the invention is, if we're going to use vibrations to communicate a new language, a sensation-based language that gives us atmospheric barometric pressure or altitude or other, you know, streams of data...
Like a reptile language. Well, anything we can think of.
I think reptiles speak that language.
And anything that you can give us about Pixie 13,
do you have knowledge on this?
I don't, but it's possible.
What kind of languages are you familiar with already?
Really just the speaking-based ones. But I've never heard that reptiles don't communicate through sensation. So, I definitely think it's a valid conjecture.
Our ears
and our ears are hearing the truck going by. It's a pressure wave. Progressive Waste Solutions. Yes. There they go. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.
The truck is communicating to your brain through your eardrum, vibrating based on...
So instead of going to the truck, now it can go directly to the bikini.
While your ears are...
Or a man can wear it too, right?
This is for men and women.
Men and women. It has a chest piece and a cod piece for both. And no back piece that I can tell. Is there a back piece?
No, the back isn't jiggling. Very sensitive.
Oh, it's not, according to you.
Oh, well...
What do you say about that, Pixie?
I'd say that we should try to cater to everyone, so maybe 3 is too limited. Or it could be 3 points you could place anywhere, rather than the set structure.
Okay, but see, anywhere won't give you the same
there
sensitivity.
There you go.
There are certain parts of the body that are just insanely more sensitive.
He's a biographical determinist.
Right, well, of course. But it could come with a manual that says the best places are here. But try things if you want.
Wait, but this isn't about pleasure.
See how progressive that is?
I mean, the best places for communicating or what have you.
Okay,
you can sit over on this side.
Efficient nature of this.
Actually, I like that idea. That it should be neutral in terms of where you put it.
Of course.
So this is a drawing of having put it in a bikini.
Pixie 13, what do you want to call this device?
Oh, wow.
It can be a name towards the name.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, like, for example, when they wanted to do the Statue of Liberty, at first they just called it, Freedom Girl.
Right.
And then later, Roller Girl, and eventually Roller Derby developed out of that. And then scrapped that whole line of thinking, later emphasized that it's a statue, etc., you know?
Right.
Statue of Freedom, which they finally settled on Statue of Freedom.
Well, I guess they settled on the Statue of Liberty, but...
Right, and the Liberty Towers that they're building now.
Of course. So this would be replacing...
I'm going to call it...
...in language with...
No, adding to it.
Adding to it.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
How about a lingual kini? Ling-kini.
Buzz-kini?
Ooh, that's good.
I like it. Buzz-kini.
Okay, the buzz-kini. So it buzzes. It's a kini. You can put it on your nose, your toes, your forehead, or where a bikini goes. And it'll buzz a new language to you, telling your body something that your mind doesn't know. Right? We got it? Basically, Digital 3?
That's in a nutshell, yeah.
This is Steve Itz. I'm talking with Digital 3. And lately joining us is made our show a lot better is...
Pixie Girl 13.
Who I've just been calling Pixie 13. Is that okay, nickname?
No, that's fine.
Welcome to the show.
Do you go by that nickname? Or should I say Nicholas name?
Oh, Nicholas name. That's good. Yeah, that's satisfactory. I think the whole name is conveyed properly in that.
Digital 3, is your name being conveyed by Dig 3?
Digital.
I see. All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to hit your face with the microphone. We got another invention. Again, it's clothing. But that's okay.
Wearable. This is for a chapter in a book.
This is a wearable.
Wearables.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that chapter is going to contain things that are not wearable. Because after a little while, I get tired of wearing all the inventions. Are you tired of wearing them?
Well, you can put them on the shelf if you're sick of wearing it. But it is a wearable device, and so it goes in the wearable chapter.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It says onesie one zip. And it looks like... there's just a zipper up the side. Up the leg and up the torso and up through the armpit. Okay. Well, I happen to have been wearing clothes, like I wear onesies and that kind of thing. And there's just one design flaw here, which is a zipper that goes all the way up your body. And maybe it's not a flaw, maybe it's a design. But it usually can't be done by you. You'd probably need help at certain parts of it. That's what I think.
Do you agree, Pixie?
Probably. Well, the placement on the side would probably make it easier, but it still might be complicated. In an ideal world, you could, like, press a button and it would zip it for you.
Okay, well, that is a better invention, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, you press a button and it comes on and off. That's an invention. I mean, you're just, why limit yourself? You're just drawing it on a piece of paper. It's not like you've got a model.
Limit. I mean,
yeah, just push a button and it comes off. But maybe, but so now I'm thinking, since that's possible, and let's, I'm not going to discount Digital 3 in his imagination, I'm guessing that he uses the zipper to zip up electrically as a conductor. So he's conducting
a motorized zipper. There's
yeah.
no reason
it could Oh, self-motoring.
Could be a motorized zipper. We could do that, actually.
Great.
Okay, yeah. So we've already innovated this. It's called a onesie one zip. It doesn't seem to be an invention beyond just that it is a onesie with one zipper, which I think maybe exists already. So I'm thinking there's some hidden technology in here.
What do I think it is? I don't know. It says here that it includes shoes, gloves, and hat. So that is maybe useful, except for, like, it's hot out right now, so I wouldn't want gloves and a hat. I guess I'd want shoes.
You know, there was a woman who won. She told me she'd been wearing only onesies for, like, a year or something, and she wanted to switch with me. Mm. But then we met in person outside, and I happened to only be wearing this, like, kind of, like, scraggly underwear made out of the hides of stuffed animals. And her friend said, you could be, oh, yeah, Catherine, or whatever her name was, you could be, you look, you could be wearing that. And she got, like a quiet look on her face. And then I never saw her again, and she didn't reply to any of my messages about, like, switching the wardrobe still.
So that sounds like it was kind of a failure.
Well, no, but she likes onesies, so is the thing. So now I'm thinking, I show up with this onesie, boom, she'll
be
happy to switch with me. Yeah. Even though she doesn't want to wear the animal tiger underwear. Made from a tiger, but a stuffed tiger, like a stuffed animal, like not real.
There's
tiger.
No mention of actually underwear in this arrangement.
Oh, you're right. Just hats, gloves, and shoes.
Yeah. I mean, you could wear underwear, but that's...
So it's one suit of clothing. It's like clothes for, like a baby clothes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally like baby clothes.
Yeah, because baby clothes have shoes.
Yeah.
And a hat. All built into one.
Yeah.
We'll call it Big Baby Clothes.
That's a good brand.
Yeah.
Where's the technology?
You could say, like, oh, what are you wearing? Oh, just the BBC.
It's technology in that it is an innovation. But there is actually no gadgetry.
Wow, there's no gadgetry. Digital 3,
except
obsessed...
It's a motorized thing, if that happens.
But the motorized
but
button, though...
Not
the... Yeah, I mean...
But this is a big moment for you.
Possibly
you,
created, though, with a 3D clothing printer.
Now...
So,
oh,
you know.
That's
but
good.
That is... You could... That technology is not mature yet, and you could make one with traditional sewing machines. So,
wow.
That's not required.
Yeah, just one good, strong
Although,
zipper.
Although, it's to be noted that if you scanned the person's body, you could really make sure that the fit was complimenting them.
Oh, that's
the
a hat.
Ideal way. Yeah, that's the hat.
Oh, there's
like
that kind of tube on their head, and I thought it was their hair, but it's a hat.
Yeah, it's...
Ah.
This is why I made this section called fashion, because it's...
Oh. Technology is about culture, changing culture. Fashion is about reflecting that change. Technology is about, is the change.
Be the change that you want to see in the world.
That's Elite Waste now driving by with a cool-looking flag in the back there. What do you make of that trash compactor truck? What is that kind of flag? Striped flag with a red, emblazoned red. Oh, there it goes.
Yep.
Quick, before it goes. And now, the point of your one clothing is that, oh, I want to get dressed in the morning. I don't want to think about it. Boom. I put this on. I've got everything.
Yeah, just by the time you've slipped your feet into the shoes, and then you've slipped your left leg in through the onesie, you pretty much just have to get your arms in there, and then into the gloves, and then last thing you gotta do is just pull that zipper up your right side and under your armpit, and then around to your right wrist, and you're clothed.
That's great, yep. Okay. What I like about Digital 3 is that the more madness, the merrier. What do you like about Digital 3, Pixie 13? You don't have to be too specific.
Oh, well, I like how the ideas are sort of playing off of simple things that you would never expect to be innovative, but then they're twisted and framed in a new light that you're like, oh, right, I didn't think of it that way.
So what she's saying to me is that it's...
That's a good endorsement. Can I put that on the back of the book?
Of course.
All right, thanks.
Well, it sounded like she was saying that not really an invention, but just it's nice that you called it that.
It sounded like she's talking about thinking differently in a new way about something that you never saw.
Oh, could we put that on think different?
Yeah, that's concise.
That's a good slogan.
Let's put that on the back.
I'll put that on everything.
Not think differently, just think different.
Just think different, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Make a computer company. And this is the last one. Are you guys ready?
Oh, wow, really? It's the last one. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. Can you believe it? It's,
Okay, come on. We got to get a better intro.
All right, the show is called Fun with Fritz. We're guesting the show today. I'm Steve Itz, and this is...
Digital 3.
And we're here with...
Pixie Girl 13.
It was just a walk-in, walk-by from the audience, which is the streets of New York, late-night streets.
We don't mean a spirit has entered into her body.
No, through the soul gem. Yeah, that's right. But now this is like the fourth or fifth utility truck that's driven by. What do you make of that technology? Like, why do we have a technology that requires a utility truck every 2 minutes?
Well, if you want to start redesigning the world, I would start with that.
Well, this is the name of this show. The theme of this show is called Redesigning the World. And so far, with that ambitious project in mind, the most that Digital 3 has given us is a set of big baby clothes.
You've got to start with how you start your day, getting clothed.
That's right. And then it looks like your next step here is when you're going away, you're leaving home for an extended trip, and you want to take your pet with you. It's called pet partner luggage. That's what it looks like. It's either for your pet or it contains your pet. And it looks like it has a little radio telemetry and that one big wheel. And it's like a unicycle piece of luggage and it drives on its own. And it's an off-road caliber wheel. That's what I make of it. What do you make of it, Pixie 13?
That's true. This could also... The thing you thought was a wheel, it could maybe also be, like, an opening. Like, if it contains the pet, you know how, like, in a pet container, you have to have sort of, like, a screen so they can breathe. But that actually might be this with the lines right here. Either or. This is the future.
Now, here's my question. This person that you've drawn next to it is clearly not wearing the big baby clothes.
Well, they're not for everybody.
So you're... anti-marketing yourself, which I actually respect. And that's one thing I really respect about Digital 3 is he'll invent it, and he's the first to say, this invention's no good.
They're not all good ideas.
They're not all good ideas. Now, is there anything good about this idea? Let's put it that way.
Well, this just came from the idea of carrying around a backpack all the time and getting sick of the weight and thinking that I'd like to pull around a piece of luggage, but then realizing, actually, it's going to get all tripped up on my heels, and I actually don't want to even deal with my luggage at all. I just want to carry itself. So the idea is you've got a little R2-D2, a little friendly pet partner, who maybe is a hard drive, or maybe there's a screen or computer, other things that you need in there, but it's got a big, empty, open inside area where you can throw pets, potentially. I hadn't thought of that, but you guys had the idea of throwing a pet in there. Hopefully there's some breathing holes. Or food from the grocery store, or clothes at, you know,
food,
the airport.
Food for your pet, clothes for your pet.
True. Big baby food. Clothes for your pet.
Yeah. You know, you could put anything or...
Oh, so the luggage is the pet.
Yeah, the luggage, having a friendship with our technology and a sort of an obedience, of course, because we don't want robots to take us over. Like a pet, you know, we do want camaraderie and loyalty and companionship, and maybe we could get that a little bit from a little box that is on wheels and follows us wherever we go.
What do you say, Pixie 13?
So it's like a robot granny cart, basically?
Yeah, you could use it that way.
That sounds great, because I often have a ton of stuff, and I think backpacks are really annoying because I always have so many things, and if I didn't have to carry the things, but they still, like... arrived with me in a good manner, that would be amazing.
Or if you got sick of having those things with you and just sent them home.
Whoa. Yeah. That's true, because sometimes you use them and then you're done with them, but you still have things to do, and you don't have time to go home.
It could swipe the subway, and it could get itself home.
Yeah, but maybe we would have, like, a security camera situation just to keep tabs.
Oh, yeah. It could have its own self-defense mechanisms.
That's true. But if it gets too smart, it may decide it, like, wants to go get some lunch or something, and, like, maybe that's too much for you.
But to it, getting lunch is getting charged, and if it wants to get charged, I think it should go get charged.
That's true, but you never know. So I think there should be a sort of communication, if it's going to be going off on its own.
There should be hierarchy, and the person who's in charge of it should be responsible.
Yes.
And the one in charge. Great.
So it turns out that we are the luggage of the pet.
You could look at it that way.
Originally, I thought it was a luggage to contain a pet, and then the pet was the luggage. But now it's clear that we are the luggage.
Well, we are
pet.
Slaves, maybe, to the technology that we carry around now. We're the eyes that tell the computers what is going on in the world, possibly. But that's a very dystopian way of viewing this progress that we're making in society.
This progress is a red arrow moving towards a man who is wearing, or a woman, a stickly figure, who's wearing traditional loose trousers and a tank top.
Like completely transparent.
Yeah.
That's true, loose but transparent.
It's good, it's a good style. It's like chiffon.
Translucent.
Well, fashion begins with the word technology here today on The Inventor's Corner. Do you have any closing remarks, Digital Tree? You've taken us through a number of your inventions. They could all be used simultaneously by the same person with no overlap.
That's the idea. We're inventing a new modern culture. And if you look around at what's on your feet, what you carry around as your accessory, what you've clipped onto your ears, these things at one point didn't exist. They exist today because somebody thought of them. Somebody no smarter than any one of the three of us.
And here comes the truck. There it goes. This was an unbranded, giant, new kind of garbage truck. The 12th, I think, that's gone by. We're on a street corner in New York City, broadcasting live on Radio Free Brooklyn. And I've got to say, I've enjoyed these inventions. I think of all of them, the real takeaway, take-home invention for me was probably this this mobile pet device, or what I call the planter, the rolling planter. Basically, you've always felt sorry for your plants. You have your plants, you just keep them at home, and they just sit around. Now, they can move towards the sun when they want to, and then otherwise hang out. Slightly mobile plants is a pretty exciting thing. Oh, turn left at the third tree. Oh, wait a minute, it's Thursday. That tree's probably gone down by the river. Never mind. Turn right at the fire hydrant. Oh, wait a minute, there's a fire down the block. That fire hydrant's probably moved. Pretty soon, thanks to Digital 3, what was once stable will now be mobiles.
Yeah, the world is going to get up and walk away, and the question is, do you want to go with it?
That's a good question. It depends on if I think the world is a cool world or not.
What do you think?
I think it could be.
You want to go with it?
Sure.
Do you want to go with me or Digital 3?
Well, what do you have to offer?
Exactly my question.
And that is our show. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Fritz Donnelly. Fun with Fritz every Saturday at 10 and 10.
Radio Free Brooklyn.
Radio Free Brooklyn.
Radio Free Brooklyn.
You're listening to Fun with Fritz on Radio Free Brooklyn. Tune in next Saturday at both 10 a.m. and p.m.
You're listening to Fun with Fritz on Radio Free Brooklyn.
I'm Pixie Girl 13, and you're listening to Fun with Fritz on Radio Free Brooklyn.
This is Steve Itz. I'm a guest on Fun with Fritz. Thank you for listening. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. I'm an inventor. You're an inventor. Have you thought of it?
You can do it.
They're not all
good ideas.
From Steve Itz.
and Digital 3.
Is that enough times to introduce and exit the show?
Yes, that's plenty.
Do you feel like we've exited the show now?
We've left the building, that's for sure.
This one garbage truck is really still going.
I think that you're just trying to capitalize on the flavor of that kind of audio. That sort of gritty, like, we're keeping it real, DIY on the city.
Court. Texture? The taser? I call it the taser. Flavor and texture, taser.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clink.
Beep, 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 beep.